In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear fellow sinners, Jesus loves you. Jesus once spoke about pigs and pearls. Maybe you remember what he said about pigs and pearls, or maybe it might come to mind a little bit more with the word swine. Remember, Jesus said, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." The thing about pigs is when they see a human being doing this motion towards them, they're not thinking about what you treasure. They're not excited about pearls that you maybe have saved up for years to be able to buy. They're not thinking, "Oh good, here comes what I've been dreaming about receiving as a gift." When pigs see a human starting this motion, they're not thinking pearls. They're thinking food. If it's the pods that are thrown out that the prodigal son was longing for, the pigs are excited about the pods. They're excited about something that they can chew on, that they can get down into their bellies. But when pearls are cast before him, and those just kind of thunk into the mud, and sit there, shining in the sun, and sparkling. Well, you remember what else Jesus said about the pigs. Like, they're not going to come up with their snouts and sniff at it a bit and see it's not food and then just walk away. You remember what else Jesus said. Don't cast your pearls before swine, or they may trample on the pearls and then charge at you. They may be so furious that you gave them what you treasure and not what they treasure, that they will attack you. You see, they have this misconception when they see you doing this motion. They're thinking that they're going to get their bellies filled, that they're not going to get what you treasure, but what they long for, what they live for. They roll around in the mud enjoying. And since they have a misconception about what you're giving, they can get furious, like murderously angry, and come charging after you. So don't cast your pearls to the pigs. They don't care for pearls. Our Lord Jesus is a treasure that has been cast down to earth. And has he been treasured? To read again these words at the bottom of page 9, we read them before at the end of the Passion reading. But keep this in mind, this idea of pigs and pearls, and Jesus as the treasure, and how is he treated? The whole group of them got up and brought him, that is Jesus, before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "It is as you say," Jesus replied. Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they kept insisting, "He stirs up the people, teaching all through Judea, beginning from Galilee all the way here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there, vehemently accusing him. Herod, along with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies of each other. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. You notice this treasure given, especially I want to focus on this treasure cast before, this pearl that is our Lord Jesus Christ, cast before little piggy Herod. Herod has a misconception as Jesus comes his way. Pilate sends him over there. And Herod at first is excited. You see his misconception. He thinks this will be entertaining. Herod loves to be entertained. He thinks that maybe he might see a miracle. Plies him with many questions. He gets his snout up there and pokes around at Jesus, trying to get him to do something. But Jesus is not a performing monkey. And he just sits there as a pearl in the mud next to Herod. And he shines in silence. But Herod, with this misconception, thinking this might be entertaining, gets angry when this turns out to be boring. He was excited at first. This might fill my belly. This might scratch my ears. I've heard about the miracles he's done. I wonder if as Jesus was coming his way and he knew he was coming, he's excited about him coming, if he tells his men, you know, I heard that he turned water into wine. Go get all the water you can find. Maybe we'll get to have a good party. This could be great. This could be exciting. This could be entertaining. But when Jesus was born, he was trampled on by Herod and his men, mistreated and mocked and sent away. The world has misconceptions about Jesus, all sorts of different ideas of what he should be for them. And when he doesn't turn out to be what they want, so often they're angry. There's some who come to church with the same kind of misconception that Herod had. Well, this should be entertaining. This is supposed to be anything but boring. But then you start reading from Leviticus to them, and they roll their eyes. They don't see the treasure that's there. We simply read. We reverently listen. We confess our sin. We hear again the same words, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No light show, no sound effects, no explosions or anything like that. All pretty boring stuff for our culture that is so drunk on entertainment. Church is always going to seem boring. And if you come to church with this misconception, thinking this ought to be entertaining, I hope you hate it here. I hope you're bored. And I hope you sober up. It's a real neat thing about the word bored in Greek. It does exist in modern Greek. A word for bored. It doesn't exist in ancient Greek. There's no word for bored in ancient Hebrew. And I've been told that of all of the other ancient languages, there's just no concept of being bored. Which seems strange because they didn't have Netflix. They didn't have entertainment 24/7 just at their fingertips. How could they not be bored? But they don't have a concept of it. The modern Greek word for board does have its root all the way back in ancient Greek, in the Greek of the New Testament. And that word used in ancient Greek is to be drunk. Think about that. When you're drunk, you have taken in so much of what you like that you've lost all your other senses. Right? Herod wants to be entertained. And he only wants to be entertained. And so he makes himself like subhuman, that he's unable to see, to recognize the treasure that's in front of him. And when we are bored, it's not a problem with anything outside of me, but a problem within me. It's that I don't have the senses to see what I'm surrounded by. It should be impossible for the people of God who know the triune God to be bored in this world. Think about the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Think about what God said after he made everything. It's good, it's good, it's good. And you live in this good world. Amazing things all around to look at, all around to be excited about. And for us to look at everything that God made and that he calls good and to say, I'm bored, is not a problem with creation. It's a lack of sense in me to see what is good and treasure it. And then you move on to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, who Jesus is and what he has done. And dear people of God, there's no reason for you to ever be bored, because you will never get to the bottom of who Jesus is and what he has done. There's always something about this amazing treasure, about this pearl, for you to look at and to appreciate. If ever you find yourself thinking, I'm bored, go to Luke 23 and start looking at the treasures. Look at the way that your Savior loves you. Maybe there's nothing that you want to watch on Netflix right now. Fine. There's always a treasure to appreciate in the Holy Scriptures that reveal to us Christ and him crucified. And then you go through to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the work of the Holy Spirit in Scripture and in sacrament. There's always something to remember when it comes to my baptism and what it means for me. The Holy Supper, in the large catechism, we talk about it as a daily pasture and sustenance. The soul can refresh itself and strengthen itself. That even if we don't come to church every day for it, it's always there for us to meditate on. If only we have the senses of faith to not be so drunk and limited and so piggy that we only want what fills our belly and scratches our itch and ears. But we have the senses to see the good things that God has given to us. Herod had this misconception and missed, therefore, the treasure that was given to him. And you have friends and family that maybe have a different kind of misconception. Maybe they're not like Herod, and they just want Jesus to be entertaining and church to be fun. Maybe they want church to be about promoting their favorite politician. And the next however many months need to be ramping up to getting people voting the right way. Maybe they want the church to be all about social change and impact, not about the bearing of the cross. A life of self-denial, focus on the grace of Christ. Whatever it is, your friends and family, and we too can often fall into it, we're going to have some misconceptions about who Jesus is and what kind of a treasure he ought to be for us. here's where we need to shift a little bit away from the casting your pearls before swine. Don't cast your pearls before swine because they don't care for pearls. But hold out the treasure that Jesus is to the unbelieving world. Because this message of who he is the only thing that can change them from pigs into real men. It's the only thing that can take them out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. It's the only thing that can save them from the misconceptions of a Herod. Make them children of God. Make them like us, who know the simplicity of this treasure of the gospel, that we're all just a bunch of sinners, and Jesus died for us. This is that simple pearl that we do get to cast to the whole world, and it's the only thing that can cut through misconceptions. It's the only thing that can save our friends and our family. And it's our only hope, too. That look at this treasure. Look at the Lamb who's willing to go through all of this, to endure all of it, because he wanted to be declared guilty in your place. Dear fellow sinners, Jesus loves you, and all your sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived.